How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I am currently in a hotel, so it sounds like I'm just sort of phoning you. It sounds like the listeners will be getting like a phone call.
But this is, I like to think that this is what this is. We just broadcast our phone calls because we assume everyone wants to know.
Who wouldn't want to listen? Did we ever talk about the fact that my mum and dad used to have a party line, which meant that you shared your phone line with your next door neighbour?
I think you have told me this before, which I think is hilarious. Yeah, so what, someone would phone and then go, oh, actually, I want Judith and Kenneth next door.
Yeah, you go, oh, so you'd have to expect a call from them.
I think.
I don't know how it worked, but it must
have been. So would both of the phones ring? And then whoever got there first?
I guess so, yeah, I guess so. But no one really rang that often, I don't think.
Did you know that my Auntie Glad worked at one of those telephone places on roller skates where you would take the cable?
She was a cable
girl.
Is that real?
Yeah. She was a cable girl during the war.
Gosh. Could she listen to other people's conversations? Because that would be a big perk for me.
Listen, I'm not saying that Gladys did or didn't, but it could have happened, sure.
Goodness.
Oh, the Ministry of Defence sounds very angry.
Oh, that sounds a bit stressful, dear. Oh, yeah. So,
Tom, you're coming live from a hotel room that looks very nice, actually. Those pillows look, they've been plumped very well.
They have done some good plumping. I'm quite particular about how high my neck is during sleep, and they are a little bit low for me.
You like to basically be upright, don't you, in bed?
Yes, pretty much almost completely upright.
I found that very surprising when we shared a room.
Did you? What, do you quite like a low pillow?
I thought how high up you were propped was comical.
Well, it's important, you know, you don't want to you don't want to feel too vulnerable when you're asleep.
No, that's true. I think it was also amusing because on one of those nights when we were in New York, you also went to bed in a three-piece suit.
Well, that wasn't a conscious decision, really.
I went to bed in a jazzy shirt. But I remember you being really quite propped up, like someone who was maybe in hospital.
Mm. Well, that was the look I was going for, actually, yeah.
And I think you've really smashed it, so well done you, actually.
Hospital chic. Yeah, I always want to look like I am in Carry On Doctors and Nurses.
You want to look like you've just had your appendix taken out.
Yes, that's the look I'm always getting. That, for me, is the chicest of the looks.
Talking of chic, someone went to Copenhagen this weekend. Talk me through.
Susie, it was so fun. We had a great time. We went to some really fancy restaurants.
And
open sandwiches is very much the order of the day.
Listen, you know how I love an open-faced sandwich.
I love an open-faced sandwich, Susie. And I like all that rye bread business.
Do you?
Well, I didn't think I did, but now I do.
What, the brown stuff that's called rye bread?
Really dark rye bread, but only if it's crispy on the outside. It has to be a bit crispy for me, Suze. I love a texture in my mouth.
I'll leave everyone to do their own punchline with that one.
Yes.
So what were you having in these open face sandwiches? Talk me through that.
Well, there was a smoked salmon one, which had lots of bits on it. There was a
sort of dill, that sort of thing, was it?
Dill, bit of avocado.
Any anchovies, that sort of carry on?
Didn't have an inkling of an anchovy, but there might have been one creeping in.
What are those little tiny green balls called? Capers. I mean, a hell of a
caper. Capers, yes. There was quite a lot of capers.
Yeah.
Quite the caper. We had smoked salmon. We had, what was it? Beetroot, salt-baked beetroot with some goat's cheese. Very nice.
Oh,
actually
that
nice.
Sounds good, actually.
But the best one was the peeled prawns. Just like a prawn mayonnaise sandwich.
So nice. Very 70s.
Very 70s. The whole style of everything is kind of mid-century, but in a very like effortless classical way. I really liked it.
Yeah, see, I'm a massive fan of mid-century furniture, and I think a lot of it comes from that part of the world.
Well, although I did make a mistake of choosing a hotel based on its design, and it was a bit dry, you know, a bit drab. Not drab, but a bit soulless.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Tom. I had no idea.
That I was sad about.
Is that where Lego's from?
Yes, it is. They have several shops.
Is there any Lego in the street? Are there any sort of models of Lego?
Yes, you can always find where the Lego is in the street because people walk on it and go, ow! Hopping around.
So people are barefoot throughout Copenhagen.
I tell you what is interesting about Copenhagen. People smoke indoors.
Oh, I don't like that.
Wasn't ready for that, no.
No. I mean, I think in the moment I would feel like it was quite chic. And then when I got home, I'd be like, I stink.
Yeah, that horrible, like, in your clothes smell.
Yeah, that's horrid. And what you won't know is that it really gets in your hair as well.
That's why I shaved it off. Why do you think I shaved my hair?
Because you go to these smoking bars in Copenhagen.
Smoky bars all the time, yeah. And I wondered about buying some china, the Royal Copenhagen china. You might be
no less.
Because my mum used to have a set of that when I was growing up. But it was very expensive, and I thought taking that on the plane isn't a practical thing to do now, is it?
You could buy it online, Tom, and it could be delivered.
And you could get it online and be delivered. So instead, I bought an ice bucket.
Sorry?
An ice bucket.
Are you thinking of doing the ice bucket challenge? It's not 2018.
those were simpler times.
Halcyon days.
Yes, weren't they?
So what else did you do, Tom? Did you go to some nice bars for some nice drinks?
Went to some nice bars. Went on a nice Segway tour of the city.
Oh, I saw you on a Segway. Hilarious, actually.
Very, very interesting way to travel, actually, once you get in the zone.
In the zone? Talk me through getting in the zone for a Segway.
Basically, for a Segway, you have to be leaning forward to move forward, leaning back to stop, leaning even further back to reverse. It's very clever.
Oh, my God.
I really enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, it looked like you were having a blast. There's a video on Tom's Instagram, if you're that way inclined.
Mm-mm. It's there for you if you want it.
And so was someone taking you on? How does a tour work on a Segway? Is someone at the front going, I'm the leader. Well, I'm going to tell you a few bits about this stuff.
I haven't been on a tourist tour for a number of years, Suze.
I love them.
I love them too, because you get like an earpiece. And yes. Sabina was our tour guide.
Sure,
she was. Thanks, Sabina. Shout out to Sabina. And she was really nice. And we went to some really interesting places, including the Royal... Like, there's lots of parallels with the UK, by the way, with Denmark. I didn't realise. Lots of similarities. They do have a queen. She's called Queen Margarita, or Margareta. And she loves to smoke. And so we went to... You can go right up to her palace, basically. She lives in... It's like Brookside. It's like the Queen's one, the Crown Prince's one, the younger prince. And there's like one just for entertaining. All these palaces face each other.
Why is that like Brookside?
Like a cul-de-sac of palaces.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And they said, oh, this is the Queen's one. Do you know why? Because it's got five chimneys and we know she loves to smoke. She loves a fag, yeah.
How old is their Queen?
She is... I'm not sure, actually. I think 70s.
Right. Is she impossibly chic?
I think so. The pictures I've seen, yeah. She seems
good
really
for her,
cool about
actually.
Things. Yeah.
Good for her, actually. I wonder if she's got dogs that follow her around.
I wonder if she has corgis. I don't know.
Because, you know, in Bridgerton, they have the Queen has Pomeranians.
Oh, that sounds like a very classically sort of royal dog, doesn't it?
Yes.
A lot of the time they were designed to keep aristocrats warm. Not designed, but they were bred to... they weren't designed.
Is that right? But yeah, because a Pomeranian sort of looks like a muff. And I mean the thing you put your
Susie,
hands in.
Please,
Tom, come on, you know what I mean. Don't start. I don't want this. Not today.
It's not on a day like this. Yes, I can imagine that. Does a Pomeranian... But hang on, I hope they're not used like a muff, because you wouldn't want to put your hand in...
No, but you could just put your hand around it, couldn't you? They're warm little things.
I think they were often kept up sleeves and things to keep people warm.
What?
Big sleeves.
A dog up a sleeve?
I think so.
Wow, that's quite the wizard trick.
Yes, isn't it? Wizard sleeve.
Have you watched Bridgerton?
Actually, I've seen bits of it and I liked it very much. Do you like it?
Yeah, I really... We've just finished it. It's very good, Tom. It's a bit of a bonk fest in places.
It's a bit of a shag fest, isn't it? But there's a new series coming out this week.
That's why I mentioned it, you see. I'm very excited. They're all really hot and they're all
Yeah, everybody seems very beautiful, don't they?
Very beautiful and very cool. And I really like how the men dress.
It's a lovely era, the Regency, for men. One of the best.
Would you say so?
And the latter Regency, I think, when the trouser comes in, is very becoming, I think, on a man. Probably the most handsome.
Would you be inclined to wear short tails?
I love a tailcoat, as you know. And I think that sort of, like I say, that sort of style, I think 1820s, 1830s, very coming out of the Regency then, of course, to the later Georgian period. But
well, of course, that's what everyone's thinking. Wait, who was on the throne during Regency?
Well, it was the Prince Regent.
Well, so of course,
King
who's
George
that?
III officially, but he was declared mad, and so his son, the Prince Regent,
the madness became, of King George,
became the head of state.
Do you know all of the? Did you know? How far back can you go with the royals?
I come a bit unstuck around the 17. I can start about 1700, I think.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, go on then.
Well, just in the names, I think. Yeah. Well, I hope I get it right now. William and Mary, then Anne. Then George 1, 2, 3, Regency 4, William the 4th, Queen Victoria, Edward the 7th, George the 5th, Edward the 8th, briefly, George the 6th, Queen Elizabeth the 2nd.
And I can do that with characters that have appeared in Called the Midwife. So
you
it's
can.
Very
That's
similar.
Right, very similar.
Very
skills.
Similar, actually.
I think it was William and Mary and then Anne, but there might be people going, no.
No, Tom, you're wrong. Well, that's why we always say on this podcast, we don't really know what we're talking about.
We don't,
but
really
just enjoy our voices.
Just look, don't have to listen, you don't have to tune in. It's just there if you want it.
It's just there if you want it. Did you buy any Lego? Just out of interest.
I didn't. I bought an ice bucket and
oh,
I
yes,
bought
why?
A small because I need one, because going to the freezer to get the ice when I'm making a drink over the other side of the kitchen, I'm done with it, Suze. I don't want this anymore.
Gives you an idea of how big Tom's kitchen is.
No, it's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing.
You've already got your steps up from the boxing. That's the thing, isn't it? You don't want
it.
To
when
go
I've
out.
Got when I'm doing my boxing for exercise, I'm doing my drinking to deaden the
feelings.
The feelings in my soul, yeah. So I just want to have the ice there, ready to make the drinks, not
ready to go.
Ready to go.
Sure.
So I bought that, and I bought a charming little picture, based a print from the Haus der Kunst.
What did you call me?
What did you call me? House of Art, I believe that is, Kunst.
I'm so sorry.
I think it's the same word in German as well.
Is that K-U-N-T-Z?
No, K-U-N-S-T.
Sorry.
That word straight out.
But is that not, doesn't that mean something else, Kunst?
It means art, I think.
Yeah, but I mean the one that I just spelt with a K.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. If there's anyone German listening, don't get in touch.
Do let us know. I can look it up if you want. K-U-N-T-Z.
I think I might be thinking of a comedy act called Kunz and the Gang.
Kunz Motors. Bold advisor. Kunz is a German surname. The name originated as a short form of Conrad, meaning bold advisor.
Bold?
Bold. B-O-L-D. Like the detergent.
Bold. Like emboldening.
Like emboldening, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So I'm so pleased you had such a lovely time, Tom.
I was really pleased
about the open face sandwiches more than anything, if I'm honest.
It was lovely. Had a very fancy meal on Friday. Didn't go to Noma, which is the world famous, the best restaurant in the world. Couldn't get a table. But after a while, we just sort of thought, you know what? It's a lot of faffing, isn't it?
It's a lot of faffing. What did you have at your very nice dinner?
Oh, about 12 courses, Suze, honestly.
Oh my God, Tom. Were they very small?
Most of the time, yes. Very fancy. And a wine flight. Very fancy.
Oh, does a wine flight mean it goes alongside
each? You get so drunk
you
feel like you're flying.
So good for you. Mm. And then you get in a plane. And you have to fly it. It's a nightmare. Do you get a different glass of wine for each one?
Yeah. And it was like a lot of wines. I thought it might be like 3 or 4 glasses done. It was like endless, and they kept topping it up the more we drank.
That's the thing, Tom. If they're going to top it up,
I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. It was exquisite. A monkfish Wellington, for example.
Oh, my God.
Things like that. Lots of little petit fours. I love a petit four.
Is that just a mousse-bouche? Just something you chuck
Sorry,
on
I meant to muse bush. I meant to muse
Did you? Oh, Tom, it's so rare that I correct you. It feels so good.
Yeah, what to do? There was a trolley of putty fours that they brought over. That was thrilling.
A trolley, like when you worked at the golf club?
Yes, but like next level, because it was like, you know, like those people who have like this massive Weber barbecues. It was like that. It was had so many like bulky bits added on. Oh, and it was the different glasses. That's what I like. Continental Europe. They're very good with a fancy glass. I like
what, so like a for the different types of wine?
Yes, but like some different like massive ones, round ones, tall ones, some as big as your hat.
Did you have a dessert wine as well?
Yes,
and,
I did.
And what are your feelings on a dessert wine?
I love it. I love it. And we had three desserts, sweet. Basically.
Tom, was, I'm so proud of you.
It was so, I mean, it was ridiculous.
And lovely.
And lovely. It was like a lemon meringue thing, which is about
yum.
That.
Yum, yeah, into it.
And then like an ice cream one.
Oh, yes, please.
And I had the extra one of cheese. And then there was the petit fours, which was like little desserts again.
This sounds lovely, Tom. I'm pleased you had a nice time. You deserve a break.
Well, I could...
You've been working.
I've been trying to keep myself busy. I do feel, you know, it's nice to have a break. The trouble is, once you've had one, you go, oh, I could have another one of those.
Oh, Tom, the dream is for us to all retire and go on holiday all the time, like Judith Chalmers.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Like Judith does.
Yeah, love to. Love to.
That's what I'd like.
Now, Tom, have you got your phone nearby?
Yes, dear.
Could you go on my Instagram stories? This morning, I posted a picture of what the socks that I wear during my Pilates class, and someone Instagram messaged me saying, I'm very interested in Tom Allen's thoughts on this on Like-Minded Friends, please.
Well, I'm glad we're all across this. Let's find out.
And for the listener, while Tom's looking, when I do my power Pilates, I wear gloves, socks that are like gloves.
Hang on. Oh, I found them. Now I'm going to power Pilates. Susie, they look like those ice cream things. You remember like those ice cream lollies that were like feet?
Oh my God, yes. I do remember those ice cream feet. Mm. The ice cream was sort of like foamy
and pink.
not like good ice cream.
Not expensive. No.
No. They were called Funny Feet.
Funny Feet, we're told. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Are they comfortable? They look like they might get a bit uncomfortable.
No, they're quite good for when you're jumping around on that.
Have they got grips underneath, like toes?
Yes. Yes, they do have grips underneath, Tom. So I've been climbing up the wall. I'm like bloody Spider-Man in that.
Really? In Pilates class.
I do it where you were on this board, Tom. Do you know about the reformer
Pilates?
Couldn't
do it normal, could you? Couldn't do it normal.
You know me, Tom. I just simply won't.
What is it, like a wobble board?
It's a board that has springs on the bottom and you clip them on and you push yourself back and the springs are resistant and then you have like a board to push yourself on and you do reps. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's good. You do it for strength training or...
Oh, Tom, you know, I'm absolutely desperate to be so strong.
You've got to be strong in this world. You've got to be.
Lord knows I'm not strong emotionally, so I'm trying to do it with the old bod.
Well, you know, maybe you're stronger than you know. That's what fortune tellers often say, isn't it?
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you've got a strength. People don't know it, but you have. Well, that's great. What's the rest of the class like? Nice people?
Yeah, I'd say lots of Beckenham and mums, Tom.
Beckenham mums.
Beck mums.
Beck mums. That sounds like it would be fun to do. Do you chat afterwards or is it more of a get in, get out?
No, it's more of a get in, get out, I'd say.
Not there to chat, not there for the fun.
Absolutely not. No.
Is it in the local leisure centre or is it in a private hall?
It's in a private hall, Tom. It's on the corner of Beckenham High Street.
Ooh.
Where the bank used to be.
Where the bank used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's opposite the NatWest, if people are interested.
Oh, I must have been near it. So is there a coffee shop adjacent or no?
Of course. Just next door.
Do you pop in there for a latte maybe?
Oh, do you know what? It depends on the time. But you know me, Tom. I'm always in a hurry.
That's
whether I need to be or not. I love rushing about.
I know.
Just calm down, Mum always says. Just calm down. Do everything a bit slower. But you know.
Mum sounds a bit Australian in that impersonation.
Well, that's the thing, Tom. She's drunk so much. She's become Australian.
Now Neighbours is cancelled.
She's doing it herself. That's the thing. Tom, how would you feel about some correspondence?
I would love to hear from the dear listeners. I want to know what they've been getting up to. I want to know what their feelings are.
Well, Tom, you're not going to believe this. We've only got a listener from the Philippines.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Hello, Susie and Tom. Long-time listener, first-time caller here. My name is AJ. I'm 30 and male. Probably your only listener from the Philippines. If not, I apologise and shout out to my fellow listeners from the Philippines and congratulations on your impeccable taste.
It's very difficult for us to verify whether AJ is our only listener in the Philippines or not.
If there's another listener from the Philippines, do reach out. Tom, congratulations on your wonderful job at the BAFTAs.
Oh, thank
Susie, you. Susie, best wishes and warmest regards and an even warmer diaper change to you after the recording of this episode. Mm-hmm. Now, onto the message. I found your podcast around the start of the pandemic thanks to snippets of 8 out of 10 cats with Tom scattered all over Facebook. I saw Tom's bits, not those bits, and went, oh, this is my kind of gay that I aspire to be. So I searched Tom's name on Spotify to see if he'd done any interviews or released a comedy album and found your pod, and I have been hooked ever since.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
This whole pandemic shindig is very anxiety-inducing, personally, because I've had to move back home and my parents are not really that cool with my sexuality. They don't tell me that I'll go to hell or anything like that. They just don't think that being gay is a good narrative to put out or something. Given that we still live in a largely Catholic country, so yeah, they've asked me to keep mum about it, especially to the relatives. The problem is a few relatives have been living with us these past few years. So with anything I do, there's always internal questions like, oh my God, is this too gay? Or am I acting too effeminately? Which really does a number on the old mental health. I'm really missing the days of living alone, doing meal prep in my underwear, singing along to Lady Gaga's Rain On Me. Anyway, thank you both for being a source of levity through this tough time. I especially love listening to you in the dead of night when everyone else is asleep. I wander around the living room, haunting the halls, giving the ghost of this house a run for its money. I mean, 2:15 in the morning, sparsely lit room, light footsteps, random chuckling, maybe throw on a white veil when I've got the time. Gotta say, AJ, really funny, lovely turn of phrase.
I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah.
Finally, to the question. I would like to get your thoughts on how we mentally prepare ourselves to open up with someone who's romantically reaching out. The thing is, I've never been in a relationship ever at 30. I know. And there's this guy I interviewed for a grad school project some time ago who recently reached out. We exchanged messages for a while before he mentioned that he would like us to get to know each other, maybe in the hopes of pursuing a relationship. So naturally, as an introvert, my brain exploded. I panicked and told him that I'm currently too preoccupied with my grad school exams to think about that, which is definitely true, but also I'm anxious because I don't know how to open up to people. My brain always goes, is sharing this too personal? Does that thing I said make me seem too shallow? Essentially, a lot of second guessing and self-effacing internal conversations. Any good on how I can stop myself from sabotaging this budding thing, whatever it is, with this man, this chunky man with kind eyes who seems like a genuinely good person? Oh. You may not know this, but you guys help keep the tiny queer flames inside some of us alive, especially for those of us who, for some reason or another, are not able to be ourselves in these trying times. From your like-minded friend, AJ.
Oh, AJ, what a lovely message. I enjoyed that very much.
Really funny, AJ. Very funny.
And I love the strength that humour epitomises, you know, that shows kind of, it sounds like AJ is dealing with quite a lot there.
I think
I can relate to it in some capacities, particularly when I was younger, sort of second guessing and going, oh, is this too whatever, you know, too much, do this, do that. And it's very self-flagellating, very self-punishing, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I think it really stops you from living in the moment. When you're like second-guessing things or thinking like, oh God, did that come across like that? Did that come across? Oh, do they still like me? I think it's really hard to live like that because you just end up feeling like exhausted.
That's a very good word, I think, because it is so trying, isn't it? And it's so all-encompassing to be like trying to imagine what everybody else is thinking. And truly, we can't control that. We can't. And I know it's easy to say, but we shouldn't worry about it because, you know, well, to some extent, it's easy to say, I know. But like, there's a lot of times nothing you can do about it, you know, 100%. Whether somebody's going to think something or not.
Well, also, I think that what I've learned as I've got older is the majority of the time people are thinking about themselves.
Yes, very true.
The majority of the time, people aren't really taking in that much what you're doing because we're all so aware of ourselves and coming across in the right way. You know, everyone, I think, unless you're like a sociopath, in which case, like, give those people a weird but give those people a wide berth anyway, not a weird berth, that's a very different thing. That's a Von Toos. I know that from this is going to hurt. I think a lot of the time people are having similar feelings and not really thinking about other people. I also think, because you know, Tom, I do think.
You do, dear.
She does. I also think if you're being like genuinely yourself, not an aversion of yourself that you think people might find humorous, or a version of yourself that is, you know, the turned up version of yourself. If you're genuinely just behaving in the way that feels natural to you, I think that's just right.
Mm. That's very, you know? Very profound. Yeah. Well, as in like you do whatever you do, you cope with however you can cope in this circumstance.
Yeah. Like I just think if you're just, you know, doing you, I know. Ooh. I sound a bit like an inspirational book, but you know, just you do you. But also if you're just getting on with it the best you can and being an unapologetic version of yourself, I never think that's too much. I think that's just right.
I think that's that's very important to remember, I think, isn't it? And I think in terms of like reaching out to somebody, mm-hmm. I think it's often said, like, just be honest with people. Just, there's always prefix with a just, not prefix, it's always the word just is used. And I'm often a bit like, well, it might be just for you, just to be honest, just be upfront, but that might be quite a big step for a lot of people. I think sometimes acknowledging that if you're in a, you know, if you have to live in the world, as a lot of us do, mm-hmm. And I know I have at various times, if you have to live in a world where you can't acknowledge your feelings, and you can't just talk about your feelings, you can't just be yourself, then that is a big step, isn't it? So I suppose in terms of reaching out to this person, it would be
chunky and kind,
a good combination.
We've always said it
as discussed. I think sometimes as well, just saying like, I don't know what I'm doing here, sorry if I get it wrong, or you know, I might get it wrong, sometimes it's useful.
I think that's so charming though. Like, I think saying to someone, you know, I'm just trying my best, and you know, and I find this a bit tricky, actually is just, it's so honest that I don't know how anyone could help but be really charmed by that.
Well, I think in saying it, it sort of reminded me of, I think I wish I'd had the courage to say that, because I think that, well, I don't know, that it's probably been times when I've kind of not known how to, I don't know, be upfront or say that I like someone or whatever, and actually it's because it's sometimes really hard to be honest and to be upfront with people if you're conditioned to not do that.
Well, so, yeah, and if you're conditioned to sort of, like all of us queer people are, you know, encouraged to not be, you know, the true version of yourself for you know, your teen years,
yeah,
you know, which might not be so much the same now, although I'm sure in many places it is. You know, I think that when you've hidden a massive part of yourself for quite a long time, that then someone to be like, open up, be yourself.
Yeah,
like it can be a bit like, oh, well, it's going to take me a while. Let me unpack all the fact that I've had to. You know, that I've been so frightened about this part of myself that I've ignored it for so long.
And I think, in a way, that is part of the beauty of our experience, is that we have learned to cope in circumstances where it can be trying. And I think that's why, you know, there's a lot of great creativity in our,
people,
a lot of humour in our people, because we've had to find ways to deal with things. So I think, we must never be ashamed of it, but at the same time, it's always, we've got to remember that we're allowed to be happy and we're allowed to be.
Yes.
But I think, I think I'm always keen to point out as well that like the complexity of our experience is quite, it's quite huge at times, you know, for.
Yes.
It can't always be just like, oh, you know, go to a nightclub, wear a rainbow flag. Yeah, that's exactly. It. You're done now.
Yes. I totally agree.
I sometimes think I'm out of step for saying that.
No, I think that it's good to sort of go, it's not always as easy as being like, turn up to Pride and find your people. And we've talked about that a lot. And I think it's why we're such good friends. Mm. In that, like, it took us quite a long time to find each other.
Yeah.
You know, we were both in our sort of mid-late 20s.
Yeah.
Like, oh, someone that's, you know, a different flavour of gay.
Yeah.
But, oh, okay, you feel a bit like me. Oh, I feel a bit like you. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah,
and sometimes you don't make those friends when you're 18.
And as well, do you ever do this where I look back on those times when I wasn't in that position, I didn't have, you know, I didn't know you and didn't have that kind of support network that you have provided. But I think I'm like, so like, oh, I kind of shudder at myself back then before, like in my early 20s when I was such a like mess. But I suppose now as I get a bit older, I go, oh, you know what? I was just trying my best in that circumstance.
Oh, I think you need to have compassion for him.
Yeah, have to have compassion for yourself, don't you?
Yeah, oh, I think about, I remember turning up at Candy Bar by myself and just thinking, like, maybe I'll make some friends, and I just didn't. I had a drink and went home. Right.
That's why I always, like, get annoyed at those queer films when they're like, they just turn up at a bar and make friends or find a partner, and it's all.
But do you think that's an American thing? Because they're much friendlier at a bar. Well, just because I feel like people are chit-chatty in America, whereas in the UK, I found if I like strike up a conversation with a bar, they're like, "I've actually got a girlfriend." Like, "I've got a wife. I'm just saying hello. We're just standing together to buy a drink, and
what
we're both
doing in
similar people."
Bars? I don't know, Susie. But,
well, you know, Alice is livid, but you know, the less said about that, the better.
You can't be stopped. But yeah, it's so true, isn't it? It's so true to kind of have compassion for ourselves. It's really difficult, but, you know, I suppose just knowing that we're doing better than we realise, that's the thing as well to hold on to.
And also, like, I think it's worth remembering when you and I sit and talk about this stuff and talk about, you know, lots of positives that we've, you know, that we've got. It's been, you know, it wasn't like that for us from when we were 18.
Oh, no.
You know, we weren't this comfortable in our skin and we didn't have the friends around us that we have. Not that AJ is 18, but I mean, I think that those things just come to us all at different points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%.
Especially with relationships and things.
Oh, yeah. You know, that pressure and that sort of sense of, well, who am I supposed to be? Everybody else seems to have worked this out. You know, I didn't seem to gravitate towards people in my 20s who loved putting out this message of like, I've got it all sorted. I've had like 4 long-term boyfriends and I know I'm only 21. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, when did you start dating? When you were like 9? I also think that a lot of it's an act.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for
sure. You see those people now. Washed up.
Oh, drunks. Yes. It's great to see those people. What did you say? Washed up what?
Washed up drunks.
Yeah. And then I realised I'm just looking in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
You look familiar.
Should we have another letter?
Oh, let's.
Let's. Hello,
by the way,
friends.
Chair is, by the way, I'm sitting on a chair that's making a bit of creaking noises, I realise.
Just to be sure that's what it is.
I just wanted to point that out to the listener. I know the audio-focused.
This one starts, hello, friends, which hello. I love.
Hello.
It is the 16th of March, and I've just finished listening to your pod this week whilst at work. Today was a rough day for me until I heard my like-minded friends. I'm a 34-year-old gay man married to a Brit living here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, in the US. With the trolley. We'll meet you there.
We'll meet you there. Oh, with the frustration of the mundane ins and outs of everyday work, as well as preparing for a, wait for it, drag pageant competition.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed.
Oh, I
you
thought
might
it was going to be a sad thing, so I'm glad that was an exciting thing. Oh, but he's overwhelmed. Why?
He's overwhelmed. You read that right. By the time you read this, I will be competing in drag for the title of Miss Gay Missouri America.
Wow. Listening to us.
Exciting, but also daunting. I'm writing to thank you both for relieving some of the stress I've been shouldering with your fun and witty banter.
Oh.
My witty banter sounds like... something that might be in like a personal ad.
Like, witty, looking witty for band, witty banter and weekends away. Yes.
That's what I'm looking for, Tom, with you. Mm. My husband and I, as well as our sweet Chihuahua mix, Ella Elizabeth. I've recently been informed that the career opportunity for my husband to get us back to the UK has not come to fruition. So your silly anecdotes have been a real lift. I also want to thank Tom for his amazing book that helped me realise the issues of my past and have helped me realise it was to do with shame that was assigned to me and not my issue to deal with. Don't like me for who I am? Not my problem. Get over it. I can't say...
I see you can take the boy out of Britain, but you can't take Britain out of the boy.
Well, I don't know whether... I don't know whether he's a Brit. He might be from Missouri. It's his husband that's a Brit.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I can't say that I've been a loyal listener from the beginning, but when I found the pod, I started at the beginning, and now I never miss an episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thank you, Susie, for introducing me to Kill the Midwife. It was right up my street.
Oh.
As I love period dramas.
Wow.
There aren't enough amazing things I can say about you both. Suze, congratulations to you and Alice on becoming new mums, and congratulations to your little one for being gifted with such wonderful parents.
Oh, as well
as the best gunkle. That's very true. I would like to give a quick shout out to my amazing husband, James, who has done such a stellar job, not only with supporting me in my dreams and passions, but also for giving as much as he can in his job every day. We'll be back in London and possibly Brighton at the beginning of June, and I might be able to see at least one of your appearances. Okay, bye bye, with courage and kindness, Colton.
Oh,
that's a lovely way to finish an email, isn't it? Courage and kindness.
With courage and kindness, how lovely!
I love that. I might start using that, Colton. I hope that's okay.
Very elegant, Colton. Very nice. I always appreciate a nice sign off. I know that's not what we're talking about here, but I like a nice sign off.
What do you use?
I often go with best regards.
Ah.
Because, you know, I like to be a little bit different.
Yes.
Yours ever.
Oh. Mum used to be a yours faithfully.
That's lovely.
On letters and things.
Oh, that's very, very formal.
Very formal.
Your humble servant.
I just
servant
do best. That's nice. But your humble servant. That's like in Hamilton.
Yes. I think that was how people used to sign off letters.
Your humble servant.
Which I think is why people put yours.
Ah.
And I think it's also sincerely yours is an abbreviation for sincerely your humble servant.
Oh, see, Tom, we learn so much.
I might be wrong, though. There might be people out there going, no, that's not right.
I go with best, but then I did read that best can be seen as a bit shirty. I go with fuck you.
Go fuck yourself, Susie.
Go fuck yourself, Susie.
Well, that's nice too. Yours? No, I think yours is nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll put cheers.
Oh, cheers is nice.
Cheers.
But then they know that I'm drinking mid morning.
Yeah.
Again,
that's why I put it there. Every time I write it, I have to
chin chin.
Put a drink. I have to have a drink. I often don't bother with hope you're well, and maybe that's a bit abrupt of me. But
I do the opposite. I just say I'm thriving. Let me get into what I want to talk to you about.
You'll be pleased to know.
You'll be pleased to hear I'm thriving.
Lovely sign off there. Lovely sign off, but lovely that people listen in over in Missouri.
Missouri? And Tom, I can't even begin to imagine the preparations for a drag pageant. Can you?
No, I can't. It must be a lot of...
hairspray.
A lot of hairspray. And in my mind, a parasol. But again, I might be confusing that with a scene from Meet Me in St. Louis.
Which is also fine.
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope the pageant went very well. Colton, why don't you get in touch and let us know?
Yes.
Kind of a play-by-play. Also, very interested in how you got ready, how long it took, that sort of thing.
Yes, and I'd like to know more about the dog as well, Ella Elizabeth.
Well, Ella Elizabeth. A great name for a dog. You can always trust a homosexual to give a chihuahua.
A great name.
A
and they're a great breed,
name.
Actually. Well, you know that we sometimes look after a chihuahua cross.
I know.
And she's a lot of fun. Very bright.
She's a great girl.
Lovely eyes. Yeah. Oh, how nice. But I wonder what life is like. Wonder why they don't want to stay there and they want to move to the UK. I wonder
We've
what
We've got draws. So many questions.
So
Colton,
many questions.
Have you thought about releasing a podcast?
Because well, I hope work isn't too stressful. Soon. That's the main thing.
That's absolutely. And a shout out to your husband, who sounds very nice.
Yes, lovely couple.
Right, Tom, we're both playing the Royal Albert Hall tonight. Fancy that.
Oh, the thing is, we've got to go and play the Royal Albert Hall tonight, so we can't talk for long.
I'm quite nervous.
You've done things there before, Susie.
I've never done the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, well, you'll like it.
I think I like it. Rob Beckett told me it's a fun gig.
Yeah. And also, we don't... I mean, it's a short set we're all doing because there's a few of us doing it.
Yeah, just run on, bugger about, run off.
Yeah, you'll love it. Nice big stage to run around on.
And yeah, it'd be fun.
I think the only thing that's slightly daunting, I only say this because as I remember it, and I probably will remember it again tonight, because I only did it because I did this gig once before, is that it's got a very high bit at the top of the audience, which makes it look taller than it is, but actually it isn't. And also it's a room that's very much for music. So
yes, I've been told I need to remember to slow down.
Oh, well, I need to be reminded of that all the time.
But Tom, I'll see you in a couple of hours then, love.
Oh, love, I can't wait. What time do we get there? 4 or 5? 5:30?
I think it's 5:30. I'll see you there at 5:30, love.
Fine, love, fine.
Okay.
Okay, dear. Well,
you're going to have a little lay down on those propped up pillows.
I'm going to have a little nap, I think, actually, you know. Yeah.
Pretend you're getting over something.
Yeah, Copenhagen's really taking it out of me. So I'm going to try and put it back in.
Okay, we'll see you next week then. Bye.
Bye then, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Oh, and of course, if you want to get in touch, you always can. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. The details are in the show notes. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Oh, and also, if you want to watch The Island, it's on Dave.
Oh yeah.
Wednesdays at 10. It's on UK TV Play.
Watch that. It'd be great. Okay. Cheers then.
Cheers, everyone. Bye. 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 Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.